Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the USA Football Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our series on lessons from 2017 with our national conference speakers. And joining us today is Coach Jeremy Pla, who's the head football coach at Thomas Downey High School in Modesto, California. Coach, it's great to have you here back on the podcast.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Coach, we're focusing on those takeaways from 2017, looking back at the season. You know, you guys started out 8 in a row. And you guys had 5 titles in a row. What was the one thing you kind of learned as you hit some adversity in the 2017 season?
You know, one of the things was when we were in our 9th game, we were playing our biggest rival in town, and our quarterback took a pretty good hit in the first half, and he tried to play through it. But because we're a passing team, it really affected his accuracy. And as the game went on, his shoulder tightened up. And we ended up losing a really close game. The last game of the season, which if we would have won, we still would have been league champs. We ended up losing by a field goal. And kind of for the same reason, his shoulder just got so tight during the game that he wasn't able to perform. And the only issue we had was our backup quarterback wasn't really ready to play. He wasn't one of our top athletes on the team. He's a great kid, but nowhere near our first string's talent. And so one of the things we learned was if you don't have a backup quarterback, maybe have a backup scheme. And so for the first week of the playoffs, what we decided to do was we put in like a single wing scheme, kind of for effect because nobody sees it in our area, but also to take a couple of our biggest, fastest defensive kids and basically give them a ball, give them the ball in a hiding the ball type of format, which the single wing does. And we actually were ahead in a playoff game that we were underdogs in, and we ended up losing, but we actually kept the game close for 3 quarters. So one of the lessons we learned was basically have a backup scheme if you don't have a backup quarterback. And when you have a quarterback that's super talented, I think that's something that we're going to learn and put in our pocket for the future.
Coach, how do you think, you know, moving forward in looking at that idea, which I think is sound, obviously, you always have to prepare for that situation. How do you see that working into an organizational structure as well as maybe a practice structure? How would you work that situation moving forward?
Well, I think in our practice structure, we have a 5-minute period every practice in which we practice our trick plays, our special plays. We call them landmines. You know, so every day for 5 minutes, we're working, you know, the usual landmines that we have. We'll get 8 or 9 reps in. And I just in the back of my head, I'm thinking it would be really easy, I think, even if it was just because we platoon, we have kids that go one way. It would be really easy for us to have almost like a defensive unit of kids to practice an offensive set of plays for 5 minutes just to give us a changeup. We're coaching an All-Star game this offseason, and one of the perks about the All-Star game is that we have 33 kids on both sides of the ball. So what we're going to do with the All-Star game is we're going to actually have one offense that is a passing offense out of the spread, and we're going to have another offense that's a running offense out of the spread, more RPO-based. And so we're going to do some experimenting this year with running a similar offense that looks the same on the surface but actually operates with different ideals of how we want to move the ball down the field. And so I think that kind of ties into what I'm talking about here with a different scheme as well. You know, you don't have to necessarily do the single wing. You can find your fastest athlete and teach them how to do an inverted read play, and that maybe that's your backup scheme. But for us, where we were with the season and the team we were playing, we felt like it gave us the best chance to win.
Yeah, what's interesting, Coach, I've come across those situations before in my career, and even at the college level, you know, Division III we recruit, but, you know, we don't always find necessarily that cookie-cutter type of kid who's going to fit right into the scheme that I found we would have to kind of tweak it for those quarterbacks. So within our different concepts and schemes, we might make some adjustments to highlight the ability of that player, and then if the need came, we could use that. But what we found is exactly kind of what you mentioned here, that we started using that as a changeup, and that guy started playing a little bit more and getting the experience he needed in the game. So when we did arrive at that point where, you know, a starter went down, we could use that offense in whole, and we knew what he could do well. And we started obviously building on that, you know, over the course of the season, building on his play menu and the different things we were able to do off of it, which you have to, you know, we started building wrinkles off of it.
Yeah, I think you just have to have some diversity too in what you're doing. And you know, because we're a pass first offense, you know, our starting quarterback, he's so good throwing the ball and also using his feet that even though the guys we had below him were all good, they weren't as good as the starter. So when the fact that when he wasn't in there to throw the ball, the confidence of our offense as a whole went down because all of our other kids knew, hey, we're not as good now because we don't have our starting quarterback in there. And so by changing the scheme drastically, for us, at least in this particular situation, the kids rebought in to the possibility of success. And I think if the kids feel like they're going to be successful, obviously that's, you have to have that if you're going to win. If you don't have that, you have no chance.
Coach, when you say, you know, changing the scheme drastically, and I know obviously passing was a big part of the one offense, but are you still trying to build on the things that you're teaching your guys up front so that those guys at least are proficient in the way they're blocking the different schemes?
Yeah, we're trying not to switch it up with the O-line at all. We're trying to use the exact same terminology. We might just change, okay, this is who you're getting. I mean, for the most part, we're a man-blocking team. Mm-hmm. But when we put in the single wing, all we taught them basically was gap down. You know, okay, mm-hmm. Now this is your man. Instead of looking head up to play side, now you're looking backside gap. And, you know, that's an easy adjustment. But, right. I mean, in terms of the scheme and drive blocking, that doesn't really change too much.
Right. Yeah, and I think, and I know you'd agree, that that's the key in being able to be multiple. And what you're presenting to the defense like that is still very important to find that place where there's that consistency for the five guys up front.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the nice thing for us about it in particular too was, so we come out in that scheme and we actually have a lead, you know, for most of the first half because it took the other team probably about three series to realize that, hey, these guys are sticking with this now. And they, you know, they were in a 4DB structure and it took them quite a while to actually adjust and say, okay, we need to roll down and play man free and try to bring some pressure, you know? So it almost worked for us. You know, like I said, we were underdogs without a starting quarterback, but I mean, it almost worked for us.
Coach, you know, another takeaway you've talked about was the leadership, and I know that's something you're studying here as we begin the offseason and begin 2018. You know, what was the takeaway on leadership for you?
I think coaches take for granted, I know I do, and I have, that, you know, leadership just kind of happens. You either have a leader or you don't. And I learned a long time ago that you can develop leaders, you know, through reading the right books, having the right conversations with kids. You know, but the one thing you can't do is you can't count on your seniors to always be your leaders because your seniors aren't always doing the right stuff behind the scenes. And in some cases, you may have a couple junior kids or you might even have a sophomore that exhibits leadership attributes. And you don't want to wait for those kids to become seniors before you try to tap in on their leadership skills. You know, leadership is a funny thing because you have to have a combination of, you have to be a decent athlete. You can't be a bad athlete and be a great leader on a football team. So you have to be at least a respectable athlete who works hard in the offseason. But you also have to be vocal. You can't be a non-vocal leader. You know, a lot of people talk about quiet leadership or he's not really a vocal. I mean, I think if a kid has really great potential as a leader but he's not vocal, as a coach we can teach them to be more vocal. We can teach them how and what is appropriate to be responsive. So for us this year, we had a senior class that wasn't very leadership oriented. And we start in the summertime usually with our leadership and teaching them how to be leaders. We have a thing called summer families where we put them into eight groups in the summertime. And we kind of watch to see what their leadership qualities are like in the summertime. And we try to develop them there. And so what we've learned is instead of starting in the summertime now, we just started during right before winter break. So we actually divided our team up into eight families before winter break, and we said, okay, these are the guys on your team, and you're going to kind of keep an eye on their grades, and you're going to motivate them and ask them what they're doing in the spring. And so we're trying to start the leadership process earlier. And then there's something I came across called the multiplier effect, and that is for every kid that you can get bought in as a genuine leader, maybe it's only one or maybe it's two, it's like having an extra coach on your coaching staff. Because now you have an extra set of eyes, you have you have leadership that's coming from a peer level with the kids on the team. So we're always looking for ways to develop leadership. Because in society today, especially with our kids, there's so many kids that have the mindset, well, I'm just going to kind of fall back into the pack, and I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. And for whatever reason, this generation isn't as willing to step up and claim leadership. So we have to do our best as coaches to encourage it.
Coach, in looking at that, you know, multiplier effect, starting that earlier obviously is part of it. I think you agree that some of that starts to happen as a kid's confidence grows and he starts performing on the field, maybe it was that unknown player, maybe a guy who just really worked hard in the offseason, all of a sudden now you get into it. You know, he's a guy that guys are looking to. How do you incorporate him, I guess, into that leadership team, into that group of guys who's going to lead?
You know, so we have a couple kids like that, and, you know, they're some of our better athletes, and I won't say what position they play just in case they listen to this, but, I mean, they don't have natural leadership ability. Their personality is more like, well, I have the potential to be the star on the team, and I'm going to do my thing, and, you know, that should be good enough. Well, in the meantime, they're separating themselves from the team in terms of they're almost too elite to be on the team. So for me, what I'm doing with them is I'm talking to them one-on-one in my classroom. I just came across a couple of leadership books that I'm going to give them that as I go through them, I'm thinking, oh, this is perfect for this kid to read, and then we're going to talk about it. But I want to try to channel their leadership back towards the team. I want to talk specifically to them about the way the team views them as an individual and, you know, the strengths that they have that can be great for our team, but also the potential weaknesses that they have that I want to see them work on. Because I think in my 22 years of coaching, I've had one natural leader, one kid that was perfect in terms of being our best athlete, best off-the-field personality, best verbalizer, mostly positive, only negative whenever he really had to be, but it was still in a constructive way. Those type of leaders, they don't come around every single year. You don't get them, you know, every 4 years or so when you win a league title. They hardly ever come around. So as coaches, I think there's a lot of talk this offseason about developing culture. I think it starts with developing good leadership. And so that's our focus this offseason. I think it's even more important than like weight room, scheme, and all this other stuff is you have to start with good leadership in order to build good culture.
And I know, Coach, we also talked a little bit about, as coaches, sometimes we take winning for granted that, you know, we've been doing it for a while. But, you know, like you said, you have that five in a row. You can't take for granted what needs to happen along the way in order to sustain that success. Because if anything, you just got a bigger target on your back.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it every year, but I think it's almost a curse. You know, like when you win a league title, every year you do it, you know, you just kind of expect that it's going to happen again. And in 2011, we missed a league title by a score. We didn't play very well. We barely lost, and it drove us. In the off season, it like laser focused our efforts so that in 2012 we won our first league title, and that momentum and we won it easily too. I mean, we really ran away from our league because our kids were so angry and motivated to get it done finally because we were so close in 2011. And I think that momentum kind of carried us through 2013. We didn't have as talented as a team. We still ended up winning it, and so we won it all the way to 2016. And then this year in 2017, we were probably, I mean, us and the other team were probably the league favorites, and we end up losing by a score in week 9, and we lose by a field goal in week 10. And what we learned from that, obviously, is that winning is hard. You know, I mean, winning is never easy. It doesn't matter if you're the favorite. It doesn't matter if, I've won 5 in a row, so we expect to win 6. The fact is that this team that we coached this year in 2017, this team hasn't won 5 in a row. This team has some seniors on it that won it last year, but it also has a bunch of juniors on it. It's never won a league title. This whole idea is that winning is hard. You still have to put in the work. For me as a head coach, I'm examining everything. You know, our players have to work harder, but I think our coaching staff has to work harder too. And it's a natural human nature to, when you're successful, to ease off the gas a little bit. Meanwhile, you have a bigger bullseye on your back and everybody's coming for you, you know, because you've been on top of the mountain for so long. So that was definitely a lesson that we learned. And it's driving our off season. You know, I mean, we're motivated again to get back to the top because it doesn't feel good to not be on top. And we've been fortunate enough to be on top for 5 years. So now we get to refocus and try to do it again.
I know sometimes, you know, when you have that opportunity to reflect, you know, when you start asking why, you may have even forgotten why you started doing something or why you do things a certain way. And, you know, very impactful conversation that I had on this podcast, as a matter of fact, was with Kevin Kelly, who obviously does things a lot different than most people in the country. And Kevin's point was kind of the same thing. They went back at one point and they started looking at everything they do and ask him why they do it that way. Is that the best way to do it? If the answer was no, they went ahead and they tweaked it. They changed it. And I think it's just such a valuable process, obviously, to do all the time, whether you're winning or losing. Maybe sometimes it's even more important to do it when you're winning because you get caught up in that cycle or caught up in that paradigm.
It is more important to do when you're winning, because when you're winning, you're more inclined to just kind of step back and say, things are working. I'm going to take a little bit more time off. As a coach, you tend to get lazy. But when you lose, I mean, that's the one good thing about losing, is that it gets you going again. Nobody likes losing. That's why we're all competitors. That's why we coach, and so it forces us to get better and improve. I know I'm a better coach coming off of a loss during the season than I am coming off of a win. And so the same goes for, the effective of an entire season whenever you're doing that as well.
Coach, as we get into 2018 season here, one of the first events that I think a lot of high school coaches have the opportunity to attend is our national conference, which is January 26th through 28th in Orlando. And we're really excited to have you there and have you speaking about some of the things you do within your program. Tell us a little bit about your topic and what you're going to be sharing with our audience.
Well, we're going to talk about how to recruit the hallways at your school. And I think that my topic is going to focus on two things. First off, how do you get them out for football in an era that, football is under attack. And, we're more than ever, we're battling this public perception of, football is not a safe game and it's dangerous and I don't want my kid to play it. And so we're going to talk a lot about that and some of the ways we try to combat that. And then also it's going to talk about how do you keep them in? Because once we get a kid out of football, we want them to stay in our football program. We feel it's very important from building a person, just trying to turn that kid into a total package, not just a football player, but a better person. We feel it's very important to keep them in our program for all 4 years. And so I'm going to talk about a lot of the things in our program that act as a magnet. So we get a lot of our athletes out at our school. Part of it has to do with our scheme. We throw the ball, we're no huddle. We do some things different in our part of California than a lot of other schools do it. And as a result, we sometimes get some kids from out of our city, out of our area that come to our school as well. And I think it's just the fact that we do things the right way. So I think going over everything we do in our program, I'm really hoping to be able to give some high school coaches some information that's going to be valuable for them to take back to their programs as well.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with us here on the podcast and reflect back on the season. And we're definitely looking forward to you being out at the national conference. And for those of you coaches out there who are still looking to go to it, go to usafootball.com and click on the events tab and you'll see the registration there. It's a great event. We have our high school coaches who have accumulated over 95 state championships over their coach of their career and 9 who have won state championships in 2017. Coach, we're very happy to have you as part of that group and excited about what all you guys are bringing to the table.
Thank you, Keith. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.